May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. It's Advent, as I said at the start of the service, we're beginning a new year, so we're entering a new gospel. We've been following Matthew for the last 12 months, and now we're going to have a mix of Mark and John in the coming 12 months. A nice change. And Advent Sunday. Themes of the end of the world. That's what we're confronted on this Sunday. So today I am going to preach about the apocalypse. I'm going to preach about the end of the world. Let's see how we go with this. So apocalypse. It's a Greek, comes from a Greek word meaning to reveal. Means to reveal something, to open up something that is hidden. Hence. The book of Revelation is also known as the apocalypse. And apocalypse is about interpretation. It's about discernment, about wisdom, about interpreting what God is saying in chaotic times, when things feel like it's the end. Now, I know it's kind of me with my very liberal upbringing, I feel myself feeling a little bit scornful of apocalypse, and I shouldn't, but it's not easy to engage with in those of us who've had a very liberal education. I think it's difficult. And the church itself over the centuries has found it hard to engage in this type of thinking and this type of literature. The book of Revelation, when the church gathered in the fourth century to decide which books would be in the New Testament and which books they would exclude because they were a bit weird. Revelation was marginal. There was quite a heated discussion whether they would keep Revelation in or not because it's strange. An apocalyptic reading is meant to disturb. It's not meant to be comforting. It's meant to stir things up. And for us, I think for many of us, me included, in our scientific age, it's hard to see the relevancy of apocalyptic writing sometimes. For example, in today's reading, you know, it said the stars will be falling from the heaven. Well, I was taught, of course, that stars are not hanging from the ceiling of heaven and the sky. Stars are great balls of superheated gas, millions of light years away from us. So how can they fall from the heaven? It's a different worldview. But really, that's If you get hung up on those sort of things, we miss the point of the of apocalyptic writing. We're missing the point. We're not engaging with it in as it is. Because apocalypse is about times when it feels like the whole world is literally falling around us. The whole world is falling apart. And it's those times in life when it just seems like everything solid is given way. And there's nothing left secure, nothing left that is certain. That's what apocalyptic writing is meant for. And it's not just that things are suddenly turned upside down and there's no certainty anymore. But it's what God says and what God does in the midst of that chaos. That's very important. It's the interpretation of the chaos that makes it truly apocalyptic writing. Now, all this should sound very familiar to us. And I come back to that in a moment in a curious way. I think actually we can all relate to this stuff very easily. So I'm going to talk about Mark's context for this apocalyptic passage in Mark's gospel, and then our context. For Mark, there are two kind of apocalyptic events driving Mark's gospel. First of all, of course, the death of Jesus. And this passage at the end of Mark, chapter 13, just near the end of Mark's gospel, is going to speak quite swiftly after this. Jesus is arrested, the Last Supper arrest. And for the way Mark is such a creative writer, he's the first gospel writer, it's the original gospel. And Mark describes the death of Jesus as really the end of all things, almost the end of time. It's a catastrophe of unimaginable dimensions, and totally unexpected. It's not what you would expect of the Savior. This has gone all gone wrong. Jesus of Nazareth, who was so popular, the crowds are following him, he's healing the sick. Yet suddenly he's in Jerusalem, and people are turning against him. And in a short time, he's before the ruler, he's mocked, he's tortured, he's degraded, he's spat upon, he's dragged through the streets, and then stripped naked and hung on the cross with nails in his arms and his feet, and dies in total abandonment in Mark's gospel, totally forsaken. It's not like John's gospel where there's Mary and John beside the cross. There's nobody else there. The disciples have run away. They're hiding, fearful. Jesus in Mark's gospel dies totally alone. His final words, my God, why have you forsaken me? And this is deeply perplexing. The Savior of the world, the creator of all life, bleeding, dying, abandoned on a cross. It's like the end of history for Mark. And it's truly an apocalyptic moment. The second thing driving Mark's gospel is what's happening as he's writing the gospel, we think. He's writing the gospel just before the year 70 AD. And the armies of Rome are gathered outside Jerusalem, they're sieging the holy city, just about to invade the city. And that's the suggestion there. You might have noticed, you know that he's near at the very gates. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. The armies of the Roman Empire are gathered at the gates of Jerusalem, which is under siege. I've never been in a city under siege. I don't know if any of you have. I hope none of us have. But it must be absolutely terrifying. I can't imagine how terrifying that must be. Knowing that very likely the end is coming, I probably won't survive this, and very likely it's going to be pretty horrible. What are we going to eat? How's it going? And it's going to be unimaginably horrible. Again, a completely, truly apocalyptic moment for that community in Jerusalem, and that is shaping Mark's writing of his gospel. But what makes these moments apocalyptic moments is not just that terrible things are happening, it's not just that a man is crucified, not just that a city is under siege, it's that what God does and what God says during those chaotic moments. So we know for Jesus on the cross, it's not the end. It feels like the end, but it's not the end. There's the resurrection. There is salvation. God acts through that amazing moment of abandonment. That's when God acts most decisively, when God's love is most revealed. Paradoxically, Jesus dies for all and rises to new life, to give new life to all. And for the people of God in Jerusalem, under siege, it's not the end either. We know armies come and armies go. Eventually, the Roman Empire was converted to Christianity. The violence of tyrants is fleeting. We know that. And God, that's how God acts. Tyranny does not last. Good will triumph. And in the midst of terror and tyranny, God speaks words of hope and encouragement. And God does and always will bring new life, because that's the way of God. That's Mark's context, the Gospel of Mark, to our context. So I said all this should ring familiar to us, I think. Should ring a chord with us. The last 2 years here in Hong Kong, let alone anywhere else on this planet, hasn't it felt a little bit apocalyptic at times? I mean, seriously, we're sheltered, many of us, to a large extent. But surely you've known people, or even you yourself, have had those moments when it's felt like everything was just falling apart, that there was nothing solid or certain anymore. It's only a year ago that if you went to Central after church, you'd find, or somewhere on Hong Kong Island or elsewhere, you'd find demonstrators and lines of heavily armored police confronting one another, throwing stuff. And amazing. It just seems like it's only a year ago. And then COVID has happened, and a lot of political things in this city and elsewhere. What a bizarrely kind of apocalyptic year 2020 is and has been. And what a year of terrible loss. I think we're in a little bit of shock, even denial about COVID, about just how terrible this pandemic is. At the moment, I read it's 1.45, nearly 1.5 million people have died in the world. 1.5 million people have died in the last year from this disease. Not 100, that would be terrible. 700 would be terrible. That's how many people died from SARS, as I understand it. 774 people died from SARS. 1.5 million from COVID. I mean, we thought SARS was bad, right? Those of you who were here during SARS, you thought that was terrible. I mean, it's nothing, absolutely nothing compared to what's happened this year. And those photos, the video from Brazil, the lines of coffin in the Amazon, the same in New York, terrible. And the economic loss, we're just beginning to see it. I mean, I think it's been masked to a certain extent, but I know people who have lost everything. I know people who have had no income this year, who have lost their livelihood, lost their jobs, just come to an abrupt halt. In those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heaven will be shaken. Yes, indeed, we know what that's like. But again, this is an apocalyptic moment, not just because it's terrible and terrifying and tragic and chaotic and there's lots of suffering, but because of what God speaks to us in the moment, what God does in that moment of loss and tragedy and chaos. Then he will send in his angels and gather his elect from the four winds. They will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and might. Be alert, keep awake. These things will pass. COVID will pass. God is not unmoved by all this terrible chaos and tragedy and loss and suffering. God is very much moved by it. God is here, and there is hope. And God's goodness will triumph over all that is chaotic and tragic and also tyrannical. There will be a better future. New things will emerge, new and better. There is resurrection after the cross. Life is stronger than death. That's the message of the apocalypse. What are the apocalyptic moments in your life, in my life, as I think about this? Where has there been danger, struggle, loss? And more importantly than that, how has God been with you and carried you through those terrible moments? And what has God said to you through them? What has been the revelation you have received through it in the midst of it all? God speaking words of hope, bringing in new life. Amen.